Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Episode 1399 of No BS Job Search Advice Radio. This is Jeff Alton, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome. Sunday, I've got a long interview with Kelly Cicina Welsh, and I think you'll find this interesting. And tomorrow's episode 1400, it too will be a longer form interview that I recorded. Then we'll go back to the normal shorter format for the rest of the week, and then go on to standard Sunday's long interviews that I did for Job Search Radio. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you find it helpful. And let's get going.
My guest is Kelly Cicina Welsh of Yes Career Services. Kelly combines personal branding and corporate human resources expertise, plus best-in-class certifications. And what she does is help professionals develop courageous strategies for new career heights. Kelly, welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Terrific. You know, when I work with job applicants, when I work with my clients, often the client is asking me to find square pegs for square holes. You know, a project manager to do a project manager's job, a program manager to do a program manager's job. And I know often I'm approached by individuals who want to take a step up, who don't want to be doing that same job for the next organization and may want to move to a director level. How does someone start to position themselves in their search to be able to do that? And I know there are going to be lots of steps, but you know, what's the starting point for them?
Well, that's a really good question, Jeff. I get this a lot. I have many clients coming to me just completely perplexed about how to do this. And as you mentioned, it is all in the positioning. So actually, this is where personal branding comes in. The premise of my working with my clients is I want them to be authentic, and I want them to understand the strengths of not just what they do, but how they do it. So when folks are seeking a promotion of sorts, whether in their own company or if they're moving on to another firm, we want to look at, where do you want to go? What kind of role are you looking for? And I would say a typical transition here might be from a manager to a director, wherein the client is moving from an individual contributor role into a more leadership role. What I want to look at with the client at that point is a chronology of the skills that they've had and all of the things that they've accomplished. And I'm looking for evidence of leadership, evidence of affecting either a team or peers, whether it's in a matrix environment or some sort of direct supervision project.
So, if I may, what I get from that is the starting point is a person has to have done it somewhere in their past that's identifiable. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yes, you are, and you bring up a good point, because it doesn't have to be professional necessarily. A lot of folks have done things for volunteer organizations. Whether it's leading their child baseball team, to being on the PTA, to being participating in a board somewhere, those are often great opportunities to get this sort of leadership experience that can then be parlayed into the work that they do or that they will do back in the professional corporate environment.
That's interesting. You bring up the Little League team. You know, as someone who's helping organizations hire, I'm not sure that's the one that they're going to buy into. Now, then, you know, being on the board of an organization, that's different. But the Little League team, that one sounds a little extreme to me. But
sure,
you're the
sure.
expert.
So if that's the only leadership role that they've had, I want them to sit down and think about actually what they do with these, let's say, young boys in the fifth grade. You know, how they're teaching them, how they're training them, how they're getting and gaining their attention, how they're engaging them. There are a lot of skills that they are utilizing and likely becoming really good at during these practices. And then I want to take them back to their environment where they currently are and say, when have you done these types of things? You know, what behaviors have you exemplified and what actions have you actually done that show your skill in these areas? So they're not necessarily going to go into an interview and say, I brought my team to the championship and they started out as the Bad News Bears, but I want them to tie in any evidence of this within, like I said, as you know, as an individual contributor, maybe working with a client, in group meetings, matrix management, in some way, I guarantee that they have done this if they think that they're ready for a more leadership-based role. They've got it in their background.
So what I heard you say there is, in the coaching work that you do, and I'm going to use the Little League example again, what you do is identify the instances in which the person has functioned in leadership, break it down into component parts, and then take those ideas back to their actual work, almost like it's triggering their memory to pull out those attributes from them.
Absolutely. That's right. People bring more to the table than they know, and they have certain strengths within their personalities that then manifest into behaviors all around them, not just in the workplace, that then manifest in actual actions, which do the affecting of their world around them.
That's very well put. And we're going to be back with more from Kelly Cecina Welsh in just a moment. But first, I want to provide you with my job search insider tip for this show, which is, you know, to recognize that the next recession is coming. Now, I don't know exactly when, but it's coming. And for you as a job hunter currently, or if someone just happens to be casually listening to the show who's happy where they are, you have to recognize that at some point there is going to be another recession. And you can't obliviously go on with life without taking steps to prepare yourself now, or in the case of the active job hunter now, to continue to prepare yourself, you know, after you've accepted a job, for the one after. Because whether it's a year from now or 3 years from now, a recession will occur. So I always encourage people, where you can, do capital conservation. Don't spend frivolously, because at the time where a crisis might hit, you know, Lord knows people need access to cash. Another thing to remember is, even after you found a job, or if you're happy where you are, you just need to continue to make networking connections. You need to develop your network, and that can be as simple as your A-list, reaching out to people who you're currently close with to just stay in touch. Maybe you won't need them, maybe they'll need you. But when all is said and done, it's a lot better to be proactive than reactive at those times. Wouldn't you agree? So that's my tip for this show. Let's come back to Kelly Cecina Welsh and continue our conversation. So we were talking about someone, and again, we're using the example of the Little League person who is doing a great job coaching the team and is using certain skills that are transferable, and, you know, reminding people of the transferable nature of those skills where they're utilizing those skills in their workplace now. So once that person has engaged in that process, what happens next? How do they move forward in constructing their value to the next firm?
Sure. So what's really important for my clients is to understand where they want to go, to understand that target audience in multiple facets, the type of role that they want, the type of organization they want, and maybe even type of industry that they want. And they're honing in on the one or two exact type of roles that they'd like to have. It's kind of like they're analyzing a job description and understanding how they already fit for the role. We're going to have a gap when I work with my clients, and I do work with them to tell stories. As I mentioned before, people are always stronger than they realize. Moving from, let's say, management to a director role, people don't often realize how they've been working with within the same team for a long time. They were, started being invited to the executive meetings, and then they created strong and purposeful contributions within the meetings. Then they were proactively asked for their opinions, and these things become an end-to-end based success stories. And these are the stories that I want to scoop out to place toward their target role that they're looking in. So at this point, Jeff, we're still talking about coaching and documenting for the clients.
Very clever. Pulling out those stories, and stories are always a big part of relaying a person's success to an interviewer or to someone that you're marketing yourself to make someone attractive to the next organization. Nice approach, Kelly. Thank you for sharing that. So how do they move forward from there? We've got the skills identified, and that's the Little League example. We've got stories or instances where they've exhibited evidence of their capability, and you've also helped them identify their target audience in what you've said so far. What do they do next?
Okay, absolutely. When I work with clients, there are largely two components, the mindset and the mechanics for their job search. So what we just described has everything to do with the mindset, how they learn to authentically tell their stories and how they learn to own that with confidence. And so now it's time for us to communicate that. The mechanics are largely where I come in. I do use assessment tools to verify the things that we found and expound on them. I use StrengthsFinder. I use Standout. These are two strong assessments from the Gallup organization. And I'm also a big fan of the Reach 360 assessment, which really gets more at the how of the successes of my client. Once I have that information, we frankly are ready to go through the next process, which is creating a branded resume, which is creating a branded LinkedIn profile, moving through to targeted cover letters, onto interview coaching and presence coaching, and onto negotiating the ultimate success of them gaining their goal.
So in talking about, for example, the branded resume, I took note on your website of your personal branding statement. And I assume that what you're speaking of is creating a resume that's targeted in the direction that the person wants to go to, using experiences from their past to highlight their capabilities for the next role. Am I correct with that, or is there something else in the resume that a person should be thinking of?
Well, you're absolutely right. And what I'm really good at, in addition to that, into strong writing skills and powerful language and keywording, has everything to do with the how of a person. So, as you know, the job of a resume is to get somebody the call for an interview. I want the resume to share information about the person's personality and how they will affect an organization. Here's where I'm hoping and successful at proactively getting that culture match. Because you know, Jeff, that companies can no longer lure and keep great talent with just money. And folks are not getting into companies anymore just based on the companies growing so fast and needing warm bodies. So, yeah, this is the intersection of the careful research in the beginning, careful writing of the career marketing materials, and now the careful expression of the person's how, and that being a match with company's culture.
When you say career marketing materials, resume, LinkedIn profile? What other sorts of materials might they be addressing?
Sure. So targeted cover letters are very important. I always encourage my clients to write great cover letters that are to the point and on purpose. It's your chance to sell yourself again. For executives, I'll often write biographies. I write executive narratives. I write websites. I write 90, 100-day plans. I write things for them that best express not just the what, but the how for them.
The how meaning how they're going to achieve goals that are being set out for them or what they expect to accomplish going forward?
So that's a really good question. It's actually both. So if that are proactive in nature, like your 90-day plan, which some people are asked to present in an interview, it is what they're going to use in order to get things done. It's a combination largely of their skills and experiences. And when we think about the resume, I might have a brand statement on there that really gives an idea of how somebody would approach things. So, for instance, I'm working with somebody right now, and one of the quotes right on the resume is by Ben Franklin, and it says, why put off till tomorrow what you can get done today? And this person is a wonderful, proactive visionary within the strategies for his company and has been really successful in bringing in things that make processes more efficient and saving costs. So, with that resume, with that LinkedIn profile, with a company that really needs someone critically in a role to either grow business or really clean up a mess, you're going to get excited about that person.
You betcha they will. And it's a nice way to do it, is just the simplicity of a quote on the resume. I presume positioned early in the document where a firm might be more likely to see it than at the end of the resume, which assumes that they're actually going to read to the end of the resume to find it.
Well, you know about the thumb test, Jeff, right? If you're holding someone's resume, if they don't capture your attention as a recruiter, by the time you read down to where your thumb is, which is about the middle of the first page, you're probably going to move that resume, you know, pass by it, right?
Well, I actually make it more simple. Thumb test to me assumes that you're looking at a piece of paper. To me, I'm staring at a screen all day. And for me, it's one, maybe two page downs. It tops. If I don't find what I'm looking for within two page downs, I'm gone. And sometimes I'll send a quick note back to someone with templated questions to cover some of the things and ensure that maybe this person just writes a bad resume. So, Lord knows I see enough spam resumes all day long. And I at least give people the benefit of the doubt and write back and say, okay, this was the point of the job. These are the requirements. Tell me how you fit. I know a lot of recruiters won't bother doing that, but I do, to give people a chance. So two page downs tops, and I'm done.
So, there you go. Absolutely. And the more on purpose that candidate is in that resume or in that cover letter, probably the more strongly you feel about getting in touch with them and putting them in front of the client. Obviously, they're making your life easier, which is what the candidates are supposed to do. That's what I help them to do.
I agree with you. And one of the things, you know, in my coaching with people, I tell people to use the body of the email as the equivalent of the old cover letter. And ideally, if they're applying for a job where they actually know the specifications, to copy and paste the requirements of the position and to make it clear how they match up. So if there are, you know, six different primary qualifications for a role, they lay them out one under another, and just give people a sense of what they've done and how recently. In technology, for example, the recent is more important than in other fields. But, again, if you're submitting a resume to a job ad that you've seen. For someone who's networking their way into an organization, that's completely irrelevant. You have to do something that actually relates to what you understand would be important to that firm that you've done. Is that what you would suggest to someone under those conditions?
Absolutely. People need to go in, as I mentioned, on purpose, and they need to understand the win-win. So rarely do people even go into a networking meeting understanding what they want. They think that they can plunk themselves down into a decision maker or someone who knows the decision maker and have that person decide for them. No, you're not only not going to get yourself what you want out of the meeting, but that person's going to walk away and shake their head and say, boy, that this person wasn't prepared. Why did we have this meeting? So I always coach my clients to understand the win-win and the goal of the meeting. What do you want out of this meeting? How will you know when you've got there, staying within the time frames, you know, that the person has to meet with you, and what can you offer to them?
You know, that informational interview, which is what it sounded like you were talking about, is so important to walk in with an agenda that you can address quickly and stay on point. And it's not about being selfish throughout the time, but actually getting the information that you need, thanking the person, getting out, staying on point, and not abusing that person with taking excessive time out of their calendar.
Absolutely. And then back to folks that are trying to level up. After they've worked with me and gone through the process and have practiced the new positioning that they have, because they now understand their value for an organization, they can have a much more robust conversation and be honest with the people that they're talking to in terms of, I'm going to dig deep here. I'm going to tell you why I think that I'm ready for your organization and what the value add is beyond even what you are looking for, because I understand your organization. I've been reading about it.
And that's a great approach. And I know sometimes they'll run into resistance, which is perfectly natural. Gee, I don't know if you're ready. And as long as a person arrives with the idea that that might happen, it might not happen. But to be prepared to rebut in a polite way, not in an argumentative way, some of the questions that come up as to whether a person's suitable, they'll do very well. And then again, it involves the kind of preparation that you're talking about at the beginning of the search, where a person is very clear about what they can deliver in that step-up role, in that next level of position that fits what that organization looks for.
And they can be clear. I also tell them to be curious. I want them to be prepared with additional questions, which will allow them to gain more information further into the job or the organization. And I want them to be prepared for what you said, which might be the no answer. A position that I like clients to take is, well, why? What can I do to enhance my candidacy? Who else can I talk to that would be interested in, you know, hearing more about how I can affect our organization? You know, how can I position myself to take a stronger position? Why are you saying that? What's the time frame? So using those journalist questions, show the person that you're speaking to that you're really interested and you really want to hear what they want to say and that you're a giver. You know, you're listening. You're not just trying to take. You really care about their organization.
And I want to offer up the tough question, probably the toughest one that I've heard, just so the audience can hear it. And it's a tough question if you're trying to step up in class. But I know a couple of my clients have delivered this harsh question to people. So it's good that someone be prepared to address it. And the question comes down to, so you've been working at your firm now for however long it's been, and they see you 52 weeks a year, 48 weeks a year, throughout that year, and they haven't given you that opportunity. And you're coming to us, and you're expecting us to do that. Why should we give you that chance over someone else internal to our firm when your current firm isn't willing to give you that one. And it'd be great to have each person be prepared to address those points in their interview in a very casual way.
No, that is definitely the million-dollar question, and one of the things that I want clients to be prepared for is that 30-second commercial, right? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Got to be short, and it has to end with the reason why you're ready to work for that company. A client once told me that a candidate went on for 9 minutes answering that question. Clearly, they didn't work with you or I, Jeff, because this would never happen.
not in a million years. Not in a million years. And the reminder I give my coaching clients, if they hear a question like that, is to remember that they're meeting with you because they're not completely satisfied with their own internal people to take that step up. And to recognize it's kind of like one of those phony questions that's designed to put you on the defensive. But remember, like I said, they're not completely happy with their own team to take the step up. And they're looking to someone else as a possibility before going back to them. So this is your opportunity to really push the envelope with them, to smile, inspire confidence that you can do it, because ultimately getting that feeling of confidence in the interviewer that you have that capability is huge when you're trying this. So,
absolutely. And that definitely comes back to the strategy in understanding your target audience and what they're looking for, and outside of the core of what and how you do things well, what is the value add? And to your point, Jeff, that person is bringing other elements that are going to be interesting and possibly really, really useful to the new client. And they'll get excited about that. They really will.
So true. Kelly, you've done a great job in giving people an idea of how to step up into the next role and some of the steps they need to take to prepare themselves for those meetings. How can people reach you to get advice from you, to get coaching from you and the like?
Well, sure. They can contact me directly at kelly@yescareerservices.com. I'd like them to review my website. They will find out information, which takes them through the general processes that I work with my clients on. We talked about the coaching, and we talked about assessments. We talked about creating career marketing materials, those branded resumes, and those LinkedIn profiles, and on through interviewing and negotiating. I have a lot of clients that jump in and are ready to jump into any part of these, but there's a lot of information that I can share from my past experience in 14 years of HR and recruiting. So definitely want people to reach out, tell me about their unique situation, and we can discuss options for them.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few ways to get even more from me. First of all, visit my website, www.thebiggamehunter.us. I have several thousand blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read to help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join jobsearchcoachinghq.com, where I've curated my information with a focus on interviewing. If you have a few questions, contact me through the Magnify app for iOS. That's Magnify with an I at the end. Or PrestoExperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, speaking with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help with a salary negotiation, my trusted advisor services, as well as scheduling me for Magnify or for PrestoExperts.com. Like you, I don't work for free. You can also take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands of courses, not just simply mine. It is a great resource in a variety of different areas. Subscribe to my other podcast, which is called Job Search Radio. This one is number one in Apple Podcasts. Job Search Radio is number two. Subscribe to both. You will get great information 7 days a week from this show, 6 days a week from the other. Lastly, I want to encourage you to join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 500 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're building a supportive group there to provide advice and counsel during difficult times. Again, the group on Facebook is called Career Angles. I'll be back tomorrow with more. In the meantime, have a great day. Be great!
With the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.